Tango Tango Papa 2064, January 8, 2021.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Deland, Florida. So, I was off on vacation. I came back to work on January the 4th. So, I've been back for a few days. So, already hauled two loads. The first load, well, at first they were going to have me pick a load up at Joplin, Missouri. And I got up there and it turned out that that warehouse where I was supposed to pick the load up at, the company had moved out of that and it had a for lease sign on it. And so then I was able to figure out, well, it was actually going to be picking up in Neosho, Missouri. So I went to Neosho, Missouri. I sent my company a message telling them that, you know, Neosho's not that far from Joplin, telling them that I was going to Neosho, and then I was there for a couple hours, and they finally backed me into the door. Then I sat there for another couple of hours. So then in the meantime, my asset manager called me and told me that they had canceled me off of that load, and I was going to be picking the next load up at Edwardsville, Kansas, which is just outside of Kansas City. And that load delivered to Orlando, but it had a total of three stops. The first two were in Georgia, sort of east of the Atlanta area. And then the final one was in Orlando, interestingly enough, at SeaWorld. SeaWorld Culinary Warehouse. So that's where the final drop went. So I got that unloaded this morning. And so after that, I'd already talked to them. We have a company yard at Deland, Florida. So I had already talked to them. The B service is due, and then as well as been having problems ongoing that I've mentioned with this fuel-fired bunk heater not always wanting to work. So those are the two items that they're going to be working on whenever they get to it. So in the meantime, he told me that it would probably be Sunday afternoon before they could get my truck into the shop. But it has, you know, the fuel-fired heater really has to be fixed. I could always get the oil changed somewhere at like a TA or a Petro truck stop. But, because they will farm that out. But the fuel-fired heater, also known as an S-bar, E-S-P-A-R heater, the company shops actually have to work on those. And so hopefully, I've taken it to a number of company shops and supposedly they fixed it. So hopefully this one, it'll actually get fixed. I'm hoping so anyway. So in any case, so I came to the Deland yard and then immediately, you know, checked in with the shop and then went and got something to eat. And on the way back from the restaurant that's just a couple of miles from here, a Perkins restaurant, on the way back, someone called me from the terminal here. And actually, they had a load that had been rejected that at first it was going to go to Winter Haven, Florida, so that an inspector could inspect it, but then so I decided I would go ahead and do that because I'd be coming right back here. And the guy already told me, the shop guy had already told me that they wouldn't be getting to my truck at all today, so I figured I might as well be doing something rather than just sitting here twiddling my thumbs while I wait. So I got out like on the eastern edge of Orlando, and then they called and they said plans had changed. Now they wanted me to take it to Palatka, Florida, to a warehouse up there. And so that's what I did. I took it to Palatka, Florida, and then unloaded it, and then I stopped at a Flying J truck stop and got something to eat for supper, and then I came back to the company yard here at DeLand. And so I'll be hanging out here possibly all day tomorrow and part of the day Sunday. He said they would try to get to it sooner if they could, but, we'll just have to wait and see how it goes. So I'm fully expecting to be here all day tomorrow, just kind of hanging out. So at least it was like 60 degrees here. Cloudy today, about 60 degrees, but it was still cool enough that I wanted my jacket. And then tonight, I think it's, like mid-50s. It's around 55, 56 degrees, so it's a little chilly, but not bad. It's not nearly as cold as it could be if I were farther north. So, in any event, so that's kind of what's going on with that. So I won't know where I'll be going next until the truck's fixed and they'll send the next load, and then, probably somewhere out of Florida, and then who knows where. So in any case, while I was home, of course, I think I mentioned in the last podcast, I talked about the gaming PC that I bought. Well, that wasn't all that I bought. The day before Christmas, I got to fiddling around with my phone. I had a Note 9. And for some months, I noticed that the top one-third of the screen was just ever so slightly brighter than the bottom two-thirds. It really wasn't, it didn't really seem to affect the function of the phone, at least not initially. Didn't seem to affect the function of the phone, but I did notice for some period of time, I noticed that the top portion of the screen was just ever so slightly brighter than the bottom part, and I could really tell that on a white background where I was scrolling like dark text or images or whatever, you could see that you could see that there was a difference in that top third, one third of the screen, like you holding the screen kind of in portrait mode, the way you would hold your phone right in front of you, and you scroll up and down and long ways, and you could see the difference. So I thought, I can live with that. That's not that much of a problem. But then it turned out that, I have one of those Roomba vacuum cleaners that uses the app. And part of the app, there is a mapping function. And so this mapping function allows you, because Roomba itself sort of manufactures, or it kind of creates the map of your, like the floor map of the house. I'm going to have to sneeze here. I'm going to go ahead, and I don't want to sneeze in your ear. I know I usually do, but I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording, and I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. So, the Roomba makes a map, and it's a fairly detailed map of just the floor plan where it sort of figures out where it goes. And so sometime back they added a feature to that called no-go zones. And so you could kind of zoom in on the map and kind of move it around on the screen and create little rectangular, you know, rectangular shapes of different types. They could be square boxes or just long, thin rectangular shapes where, you know, I could place those where the vacuum would get into trouble or where it would hang itself up. And so I tried to keep it away from, because at one point it got lodged under the bed rail. So I drew, initially I drew a little box, then on both sides of the bed so that it would keep it out, it would just stay away from, where it wouldn't get caught under the bed, that type of thing. And so I, drew a number of those. So I was going to add more recently, I was going to add some more, maybe add some more of those boxes. And for some reason, the map just wouldn't respond. So I could click on the, there were three buttons on the bottom of the, that are part of the app at the bottom of the screen to like edit the maps and edit the room labels and room dividers and the no-go zones. And those wouldn't respond. And I couldn't really scroll the map. I couldn't zoom in on the map. I couldn't do anything with the map. But while, I got to messing around with it, and I discovered that that top third of the screen, and this is only in the Roomba app, in the mapping function, the top third of the screen, it was actually responsive, and I could actually zoom in and do all kinds of things. Move the map around with the top one-third of the screen, but the bottom two-thirds was unresponsive. Now, unfortunately, I couldn't simply, kind of zoom in on the top, and then if I wanted to create another no-go zone, the link was on the very bottom of the screen. Couldn't do it. So I ended up calling, now it's T-Mobile. Of course, I used to be a Sprint. I was kind of strictly a Sprint customer, and then T-Mobile bought out, the government approved the merger of, or basically the acquisition of Sprint by T-Mobile. And, so I became a T-Mobile customer sort of by default. And I must say, and I think I mentioned it, the service right after T-Mobile took over Sprint, the service did improve. I noticed immediately that the service did improve, and then I could actually talk on the phone I could browse while I was talking on the phone. So in other words, the data would continue to work, whereas when it was only Sprint, once I was on a phone call, unless I was also on Wi-Fi, the data was just locked out of the LTE. But once T-Mobile took it over, then all of a sudden I was able to browse at the same time that I was talking on the phone call. So that was the thing that I noticed initially. So anyway, I called T-Mobile because all of our local stores that used to be Sprint have been rebranded T-Mobile. And I asked them, what kind of deals do you have? Of course, I owned the Note 9 outright. I paid that off some time back. And they said, well, we'll give you $500 trade-in. You got a Note 9, we'll give you $500 trade-in. Towards, and they listed some phones. And so long story short, I ended up going for a Note 20 Ultra. And initially, I kind of resisted the idea of, upgrading because I was pretty happy. I really was happy with the Note 9 until I found out that it actually had a hardware problem. Or I think it did. It could have been a software issue. That's the other part of it. See, it could have been because it seemed that problem appeared with the top one third of the screen being a little bit brighter than the bottom two thirds. Appeared it seemed to appear right after one of the software updates. And so before I did anything, I got to looking online, and there are a bunch of people that had, if you type in Note 9 screen issues, there were a bunch of people that had screen issues after software updates, with the screen kind of becoming unresponsive. So it could have been a software problem. You know, it's not necessarily a hardware problem. So, but in any case, they, so I made it, this was on December the 24th. So it was the day before Christmas, and it was getting late in the afternoon. That Sprint or that T-Mobile store was open. I think they were going to be open till 6. And so I got in there. I guess it was about a little bit after 4 p.m. when I got in there, and I, you know, I'd already told them I'll be in. I'm gonna do the upgrade, and so that's what I did. And so that took a while. So I left the store, and I was their last customer for the day. And I got out of there right about I don't know. I guess it was 4:15 or something. I think they were going to close at 5. And I might have gotten there at 3 instead of 4. I don't remember now. But anyway, I was the last customer, and they closed the store. And so the store I went to is right next door to one of the Walmarts in Fayetteville, Arkansas. So I walked right over to Walmart and with the intention of buying this Note 20 Ultra does not have a headphone jack, and so I went into Walmart with the intention of buying a USB-C to headphone jack, because it appeared that if you looked at the Walmart website, it appeared that they would have that in stock, that it wasn't an order, you know, kind of an order only item, that they looked like it, that it was in stock in the store. So it was, I don't know, like a little bit after 5. And so I walked into the Walmart, and the Walmart was actually going to close at 6 because it was the evening before Christmas. It was Christmas Eve. They were closing at 6. And so I went in there and I looked and I looked and I looked, and I didn't try to ask anybody. But I looked at all of the places where they had all the adapters, and I could not find a USB-C to headphone adapter. So what I did, I immediately ordered one from Amazon. I found one on Amazon, and I also at the same time ordered a black silicone case, because that's what I've had on the last several phones, and I've had really good luck with those, because they don't add very much bulk at all to the phone, and they've served me really well. So, but, in, you know, the T-Mobile, you know, they were wanting to sell, they had a a clear silicone case for $40. Sorry, that's overpriced. So I was able to buy the black one for, I don't know, like $8 or $9, and it was an Amazon Prime item, as well as the USB-C to headphone adapter. And so the USB-C to headphone adapter that I purchased from Amazon also has a USB-C slot in it, so I'm able to actually charge the phone and listen at the same time, which I do from, you know, I do end up doing that while I'm driving, because I spend a fair amount of time listening via wired headset when I'm here in the truck. Even though I make extensive use of Bluetooth otherwise, I just still do use the wired headset, and there are times when I need to charge the phone while I'm listening to it, because I'm, you know, I have to do that from time to time. So I got that, and so both of those items came. They showed up on they showed up on the following Monday. So got both of those, and so far the dongle seems to work perfectly. you know, for everything that I used, the built-in headset in the Note 9. Now, one of the things with the Note 20 Ultra, it is a faster phone. Does have a faster processor, which I can kind of justify that as well because of the... I do make rather extensive use of the phone for work because I take pictures of the paperwork with a special app that the company provides, my company provides, and that special app basically kind of turns it, the photos of the documents into something like what you would see in a, like a scanned document. And it also eliminates the skew distortion that inevitably happens when you take a picture of a document. And it bundles everything up and into a PDF file and sends it to the company. And so, I, you know, the company gets the paperwork immediately. And so this phone is the fastest one that I've ever had, obviously. And so it makes really quick work of, you know, if I have to scan a bunch of pages into the app, it makes pretty quick work of it. Whereas when I first started doing this several years ago, it could be a slow process. And so it was actually initially, whichever phone I had, it was probably one of the S series, whichever phone I originally started doing this with, if I just had one or two or three pages, it was okay. But if I had a bunch of pages, as I sometimes do, because I like to send in all of the pages of the bill of lading, and sometimes there are multiple pages. And so initially, when I first started doing this with a slower phone, it was actually faster just to use the scanners in the inside the Loves or the Pilot truck stops or the Flying J's, which Pilot Flying J, same company. So it was quicker to just go inside, but nowadays, of course, it's just far faster to do it right on the phone and send it off immediately, and it's actually cheaper for the company, my company as well, because if you use this, turns out if you use those scanners that are in a truck stop, they're having to pay a fee. My company has to pay a fee for that. So, in any case, so I can kind of justify it for that. And, you know, the phone is faster. It has, so the phone model that they're selling, at least at T-Mobile, the ones that they have available in the stores, are 128 gigabytes of memory, flash memory, and then the phone itself has 12 gigabytes of RAM, random access memory. I know there are some people that actually confuse those two things because it works exactly the same way in a phone or an iPad or any kind of a tablet. Works exactly the same way as it does in a computer. In a computer, you have a hard, you know, traditionally you've had a hard drive of some sort. Nowadays, they're all kind of moving to SSDs, but it's still a storage. It's a type of storage, and then you have random access memory. And there's a difference. Flash memory you know, you take the power away and it's still retained, it keeps the memory. Whereas with random access memory, you take the power away and it just goes blank. But random access memory is always faster than flash storage or certainly a traditional hard drive. So that's the difference. Because I was arguing with someone the other day, they kept confusing that tablet, the Galaxy Tab A that I have, only has 3 gigabytes of RAM, even though it has, I think it's got, I don't know how much storage it actually has, maybe 32. It's either got 32 or 64. I think it's got 32 gigabytes of storage, And they kept saying, well, why would you buy a tablet with only 3 gigabytes of storage? Well, that's not storage. You're confusing two things. They're two different elements. Works just like it does in a computer, you know? But you can't just say, oh, it's memory. Well, yeah, it's memory, but it's two different things. You've got storage memory, and then you've got random access memory. So in any case, the phone's got 12 gigabytes of random access memory, which is pretty amazing. And it's got this Note 20 Ultra's got really great battery life. Another thing that it, because I haven't really researched it all that much before I bought it. I knew it was faster. I have watched some videos about it. One of the things I found out after I bought it is that it is actually capable of 8K video, recording 8K video. Now, the Note series, even going all the way back to the Note 3, could record 4K video. But now, this Note 8 can actually record 8K video. And so I recorded a couple of 8K video files as an experiment, and it seems to work pretty well. Now, I don't have anything to play 8K video back on. I uploaded a sample, like a 13-second sample of 8K video to YouTube, my YouTube account. 13 seconds long, it was like 131 megabytes. And I made another one that was like 3.5 minutes long, and it was like 1.5 gigabytes. I didn't upload that one to YouTube. but it works. It's really, it does record 8K video, which is really something. And it keeps up with the data rate, which is really amazing. So it doesn't stutter or anything. It's very, very nice looking video. But like I say, I don't have an 8K video, any kind of an 8K screen to play it back on. I do have a 4K TV at home. And I really haven't done anything with 4K. Once I get the fiber internet at home, which should be by the end of February. Once I get the fiber internet, then I can start doing more interesting things with it. Then because I've just really been hamstrung by the lack of. I've had to live within the constraints of the speed of the internet that I'm able to have access to it, you know. And of course, the one at home is just dreadfully slow, the DSL, which I'll, once I get the fiber, I'll, you know, say goodbye to the DSL, good riddance. I'm paying $90 a month for that super slow DSL, 1.2 megabits down on a good day, and like 0.3, 0.4 up. And that's on a good day. So, now, another interesting thing about this phone, it has the latest 5G, or, you know, what T-Mobile is calling 5G. And so, and it shows up as 5G, especially like at my house, it's showing up as 5G. Now, that's probably really more like 4.5G. In order to get like a gigabit 5G speeds, you have to be in line of sight of a 5G tower, and you know everything just has to be just so. But they have figured out how to really boost the speeds up. With traditional LTE, and so that's sort of like 4.5G, but they're calling it 5G. But in any case, that shows up in a lot of places on the T-Mobile network, and so this phone has all the latest radios. And what really surprised me, if I did, you know, doing speed tests, I was getting some pretty impressive speeds in my house using the T-Mobile network. You know, upwards of about 50 50 megabits down, which is kind of amazing. And I at one point I tested it somewhere else in town, and it was what was it, 130 down, 130 megabits down. So that's pretty impressive when you're dealing with compared to what I used to have. So even with the phone. So anyway, I'm pretty happy with the phone that I got. So it's really an impressive device. So I have a call here from Joel, and so let's see what he's talking about. And he's talking about gaming computers and video editing, things like that. So here is Joel.
I want a gaming PC, but I don't necessarily want it to play games necessarily. One of the things that I like to do is make video in just simple edits and video, as well as something more complex too, with lots of effects. I've been dabbling here and there over the last couple of years with Adobe After Effects, and everything I have actually does an okay job at it. I just want to do it faster. So I have my Surface Pro that I have the whole Creative Cloud Suite loaded on, and it does okay. It does okay. I'm actually pretty impressed with LumaFusion over on my iPad. Although I want to create another video before the year's out here for my YouTube channel. So one of the things I want to do probably next few days is pick my drone up and go around the area I live currently and record some video that I can use for B-roll / title shots. So, and then of course edit that over in on LumaFusion. I don't think LumaFusion is going to replace Creative Cloud at this point, because there's so many things that Creative Cloud does. But it's worth it for $30. So I'm with the iPad Air 4, it's very similar to the iPad Pro, and it has a USB-C port on it, which means I can plug in things like SD card readers, hard drives, and stuff like that, and the iPad can use them. In fact, you can even hook an external monitor up to the iPad and mirror the display onto like a TV, which I have, or a monitor, and it does work. I tested it. So one thing I haven't tested though was playing audio via the HDMI. I don't see why it would not work, but I'll have to try it so I can see. Not that I'm gonna do that often with the iPad, but it's just nice to have those options. So, in my case, I'm looking at very similar setup to what you have, although I want an even bigger hard drive, just because I want something that can more capably edit 4K with Creative Cloud. So, amen. Merry Christmas to you, and talk to you later.
Thank you, Joel. So, yeah. I haven't been doing a whole lot of video stuff for a while. I have had a little bit of limited success on YouTube with of all things, cooking videos. My most watched cooking video, I think, was one of the how to cook pasta in a pressure cooker. And I think the last time I looked, it had like 100, if that's the video I'm thinking of, it had like 150,000 views. So, you know, which is kind of interesting. And of course, now I won't even eat pasta. It's been more than 2 years since I ate pasta. But you never really know. You know, sometimes you just throw stuff out there and kind of see what sticks. So you never really, you know, you do stuff like that, and you never really know what people might latch on to. And that differs from one person to the next as well. So, anyway, another thing with this Note 20 Ultra, it has the fingerprint, still has a fingerprint reader, but it's embedded in the bottom of the, towards the bottom of the screen. I guess it uses ultrasonic, and it's got an ultrasonic sensor that's sort of embedded in the screen or just under the screen, and it actually works pretty well. So I'm happy that they kept the fingerprint sensor, even if they did away with the headphone jack. You know, so now, well, I have to use a dongle. Oh, well. Just most of the time I leave the dongle plugged into the wired headset. Another thing that I found out by getting the new phone, when I tried to, and of course I had to log back into a lot of my different apps, and found out that Dropbox, it wouldn't let me log into Dropbox. Dropbox now has a policy where if you don't pay for a Dropbox account, you can only have 3 devices at any given point logged into Dropbox, which is kind of crappy of them. So I don't really care. I have OneDrive because I do pay for Microsoft Office. I guess they're calling it Microsoft 365 now. They renamed it. Is still Microsoft Office, or Office 365, and it comes with 1 terabyte of OneDrive. So I'll just use OneDrive instead of Dropbox, because OneDrive seems to work pretty well, seems to be integrated fairly well. You know, Dropbox's big calling card was always that it seemed to work pretty well from one device to the next fairly reliably, but once they start imposing limitations on it, because for the longest time they just imposed size limitations on the amount, but they didn't limit you to as far as the number of devices that you put your Dropbox account on. It would still sync, but now they're, oh well, they want more money, so sorry, I've got OneDrive already, and as I say, it seems to be integrated pretty well, seems to work pretty well, so I'll just use OneDrive instead of Dropbox, and it's an easy transition, because I already had OneDrive installed on all my devices, and it, like I say, it seems to work pretty seamlessly, so. I don't know. I eventually might start doing more video once again. I don't know exactly, you know, if I should make, probably, like I say, I've had the most success on YouTube with cooking videos of all things. And once I get the I'll have a faster upload speed as far, you know, once I get the fiber. That should be pretty quick as far as uploading, you know, so then I can start uploading, you know, some videos, and it wouldn't be such an ordeal. So I may kind of get back into video editing a little, you know, making videos, and of course that entails more video editing. I've never paid for the Adobe, the Creative Cloud. It's time to sneeze again. Be right back. Well, at least it may go away. I'm going to pause this anyway. There we go. I sneezed twice. There may be a third one. So, I've never paid for the Adobe Creative Cloud. I think I... What do I have? Like, whatever the name of the software that, you know, because they had some software that you could get. I don't remember the name of it right now. It's like version 12, so it's outdated. It still works okay. But I do have that, and I think it still functions. But like I say, it's kind of discouraging to try to upload videos when, you know, it's a more lengthy process because of the upload speeds. So once I get a faster upload speed, then I may experiment with that a little bit more. And I've never really done anything with 4K video, let alone 8K. But once I get the fiber, then I should be able to at least watch some streaming 4K videos, because I'd have to upgrade my Netflix account. There may be some 4K that's available. I don't know. And certainly there is on YouTube, and I just haven't messed with it because I, you know, again, because of the limited speeds at home. Now, another thing that happened while I was home, I noticed that, my parents did come, and so they, you know, there's, I have a small television in my kitchen, and they, for some reason, they love watching that little television, and I think it's like 20 inches, little flat screen TV I've had for probably the better part of 10 years now. It was an inexpensive one I bought at Walmart, and it works pretty good, and it actually has a fairly sensitive tuner. But it was on, and I started flipping through local channels, because that's, you know, I've got it hooked up to my antenna on my house, and I noticed that we have this educational channel. It used to be channel 13 when it was analog. You know, and of course now in the digital realm, it's still supposedly 13, but they, you know, with the way the digital works, those really are sort of more virtual channels, and they can kind of, you know, label it any way they want and place it anywhere they want, whether it's actually broadcasting on channel 13 or it is or it isn't. But I noticed that it was missing, and that's a local channel, and it should come in. And so I rescanned. Then I remembered, hey, there's something, I remember reading something about a so-called channel repack, that they were going to be doing. And so I scanned with that, you know, that TV, I scanned the, you know, for all of the digital channels once again. And lo and behold, it found 52 potential channels. Now, of course, a lot of those are split channels, but it found lots more channels. Now, some of them won't come in unless I, you know, I've got a rotor on the antenna, and unless I actually, you know, turn the antenna, then I can probably get some of those more marginal ones to come in. But 52 channels, believe it or not. So, and then once I did that, then the educator, you know, the channel 13 thing was back. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So I went around to my other TVs that I have hooked to my antenna in my house, and forced to rescan, and then all these extra channels showed up, which is kind of interesting. But I don't know. Then there was a... So I ended up watching one of those channels because it was... What's it called? Decades? And so because of the, you know, right around New Year's, they were showing, you know, this Decades channel was showing back-to-back episodes of Twilight Zone. You know, I've probably seen every Twilight Zone episode at least once. You know, the old black and white TV series. But a lot of these, I'm sure I've seen them before, but I just, you know, it's been so long, I've kind of forgotten. And so I ended up watching a fair number of those on this Decades channel. Of course, they're advertising. Not terribly, but they do advertise. They weren't really taking up too much time with advertising, but they were advertising. But I did watch it. And I think that must be owned because it kept saying, you know, at the end of each episode, it says like CBS Television Distribution. So I think maybe CBS owns that Decade channel, that Decades channel. And I think normally they're just showing different, older, a lot of black and white TV shows. You know, and that kind of makes sense that they would do that, because then they can, you know, they can still make advertising revenue. And of course, those stations are all, you know, they don't really have to have announcers per se. They're all highly automated. They're basically computer playlists that someone sets up. And it, you know, kind of ends up making a little network out of it. But that kind of makes sense that they would, you know, because they have these back catalogs and, you know, it's a lot of the stuff so old that either people have never seen it before because it was made before they were born, or in my case, there's these old shows that I've watched before, but I've forgotten, just completely forgotten them. And the Twilight Zone is just, usually most of those episodes are especially good. Some of them are better than others. They had some really classic actors. You know, some of the actors in there were acting in the Twilight Zone before they actually became big stars. You know, so really interesting. So let's see what else. I think that's about all that I bought. Did buy a couple of, and I may have mentioned this in the last podcast, I did buy a couple of Logitech speaker systems for the computer speaker systems. You know, they included a fairly sizable little subwoofer. So I bought, you know, two of those, ended up buying two of those. They were identical, and one for the gaming computer and one for the computer, 27-inch flat, all-in-one HP that I have in my living room. So, I did that. That's about it. So I got, you know, at this point, I'm out of debt. And my intention is to save money, you know, save a certain amount of money, at least $1,000 a month. Just kind of move that over into my savings account. You know, maybe more, you know, depending on the month, maybe, you know, bump that up to maybe $1,500. But a minimum of $1,000. And then that still allows me plenty of money, because I know how I am. I like to spend money on things, you know, kind of upgrade this and that, and maybe, you know, buy things for the house from time to time. And so I know that I'm going to do that, and so I've built in a certain amount of that. But that's my intention, and I really do intend not to go back into debt for anything. Now that, you know, of course, the more money that I save, the more likely it is that I can kind of, you know, enforce that. Because if something happens and I really need some money, then I can always pull it out of savings. You know, even though I don't like to, but I can. So that's really my intention, is to just, you know, kind of remain out of debt, but save at least $1,000 or more per month into the, you know, foreseeable future. And then once I start, I should be able to start receiving the so-called full Social Security in probably July of this year. That's what's that? This is January, so we got January, February, March, April, May, June. So in about 7 months, 6 months, should start receiving the full, so-called full Social Security check. And my intention is to bank that as well. Completely, just, you know, whatever the amount is, just in the bank it goes. And at this point, my intention is to continue working full-time at the job that I already have, this job. So, you know, and I don't know how long that's going to continue. I've had people say, when are you going to retire? Well, why? What would be the point? You know, really, what is the point of, you know, because people think that, you know, they do this or they do that or some imaginary thing in the future, and somehow that's going to make them happy. Well, there's a big problem with that. Because if you're not happy now, if you can't find happiness right where you are right now in the present moment, if you can't, whatever happiness is, and I don't really think we can, that's not so easily defined, because it's not really an emotion. And you certainly know what unhappiness is. It's similar to, you know, you don't really know what health is until you've, you know, you're unhealthy, or you don't really know what pain is until you experience pain, and then you realize what lack of pain is, because it's really kind of hard to define as far as knowing it. So happiness is not an emotion. It's not some sort of state of excitement, because you can't maintain a state of excitement. You know, if you maintain a state of hyper excitement too long, it'll kill you. You'll die. Can't do that. So happiness is not some state of excitement. But you have to have a purpose. Got to have some kind of a purpose for existing. Got to have something to aim at. Some sort of a goal. You got to have some sort of a purpose. And usually purpose revolves around doing something productive. And doing something productive really revolves around, at the end of the day, it revolves around helping other people. Now, you may get paid for it, that's a good thing to get paid for. You know, because what I do for my job, actually, you know, I'm hauling a lot of food or other things around. You know, people are able to go to the store and the stuff's there, and they're able to buy it, and they're able to, you know, keep eating. Which seems to make them happy. whatever. But, you know, people have to continue to eat. Things have to, continue to be moved around. And so I'm certainly willing to do that as long as I get paid to do it. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, and that may sound awful. Oh, well, that's your purpose for living is work. Well, yeah, sorry. That's probably the purpose for the reason most people have that gives people a purpose. If, you know, you do something for, because a productive job, you're doing something for other people. getting, you know, you can think of it this way, getting paid for it is like, you know, you're that's the proof right there. You've got these, you know, you've got basically, you can think of a dollar as a sort of a certificate that you got paid. It's, you know, this is a certificate certifying that you did something for somebody else that was useful. But, you know, I've entertained ideas. Well, you know, what could be, you know, make you happy? You know, being more social or doing this or doing that or exercising more or, you know, all of the things that people think of, the cliche things. And none of those things really do anything. I mean, they make nice little distractions. They're great. Sometimes they're great in small slices. It's nice to socialize with friends and family. Enjoy it, but that's not a real reason for existence. That doesn't justify existence, simply socializing with others. It doesn't get it. So you got to have a purpose for living, and so at this point, that's the best that I can come up with for myself is to continue working. Because most of the time I do enjoy working. I do most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time I enjoy my job. It does have its problems from time to time, but most of the time I enjoy it. And I'm kind of happy doing it. Or I could say not unhappy doing it. It's not miserable. I don't feel like I'm suffering because I'm working. But if I sat home all the time with nothing to do, nothing productive to do, I would be suffering. So you got to have something to aim at. You got to have some kind of a purpose. So my current thinking is that I'm going to continue working indefinitely until something changes, or, you know, at some point, obviously, I won't be able to do it anymore. Might become physically incapable of it. You know, that hasn't happened yet, but it you know, it will at some point. Let's be realistic. At some point, I may want to, you know, it's possible that I could, you know, change jobs or do something part-time. But in the meantime, my intention is to continue working full-time with my current job. Because, it, you know, I'm able to do it just as well now as I was 20 years ago. In fact, probably am able to do it better now than I was 20 years ago. You know, now, of course, I may, you know, I have a lot of people tell me that that I'm the exception. You know, my dad told me that the other day, you know, you're the exception. You know, we were talking about my low carb diet. You're the exception. Most people can't do that. You're the exception. Yep. Okay. You know. So, and I probably am. I guess I don't know. But. You know, overall, I have my philosophy and my different philosophies that I have, which anyone that's listened to this podcast for any length of time already is well aware of it, you know, because I talk about it all the time. they seem to be working for me, but then again, you know, there's always the possibility that I'm just the exception in all these different ways, and the philosophy has nothing to do with it. I think it does. I think my philosophies, the various philosophies that I have, make a difference. Now my phone is ringing, and what does that say? It's another scam. I keep getting these calls, and now they're pretending to be from Arkansas. And it's never the same number, so you can't block the number. And it's probably some kind of a thing for, you know, trying to push some sort of like a car warranty or God knows what. And I've been getting those calls hot and heavy today, over and over and over again. Some of them come up on the screen. It says, potential scam. Not all of them are pretending to come from Arkansas. You know, there's like New York and Washington and places in California and Oregon, wherever. And, you know, it's probably, you know, it could all be the same thing, you know, because they can easily now spoof phone numbers. And, you know, and that's why it's never the same number. Because they're just probably generating those numbers at random. But, you know, they think, well, if it's from Arkansas, they know that I probably am from Arkansas. They think that since it's, you know, I might be more likely to answer it, especially if it shows that it's from my area or one of the cities in my area. Well, sorry, if I'm not expecting a call and it's not programmed into my phone, I'm not going to answer it. You can leave a voicemail, and I might listen to it. Then again, I might not, or it might be a couple of weeks, because I don't really care too much about it. So, but in any case, you know, I think my philosophy works. It seems to work for me, but then again, I seem to be the exception in multiple different ways, which is, I don't know why that would be. So, but it's been, as far as the diet goes, it's been more than 2 years. I started it in December of, 18? Yeah, so it was like December the 6th, 2018 is when I started the diet. That's when I cut the carbs out, and, so it really, in the first year, that's when I lost the weight. I went down 35 to 40 pounds. My weight now for the past year has consistently hung around like 148, 150. You know, it seems to kind of, that's where it always seems to be at, is around one, between one, you know, as low as 148, maybe 150. And as long as I keep the carbs low, you know, I'm not on a zero carb diet, but I am on a low carb diet. So I eat, almost any kind of meat, lots of vegetables, and lots of salad. Cheese is okay. By the way, my parents and I did eat at an Olive Garden. I haven't eaten an Olive Garden, or I hadn't eaten an Olive Garden for at least a couple of years, or longer than that. And so I wasn't sure what I was going to have. They wanted to go to Olive Garden, and I said, okay. So I looked at the menu, and Olive Garden's got this little 6-ounce sirloin steak, which is kind of small, but... And I got to looking, and then I found a suggestion. Someone had suggested that you get the fettuccine Alfredo, but But instead of noodles, just tell them to put it over broccoli. So that's what I did. Ordered fettuccine Alfredo, but no noodles. I want put it on a bed of broccoli. And that actually was pretty good. And then we had a salad, too. That actually was pretty good. It's better than the noodles. Better than the fettuccine noodles. Because, you know, you got the bed of broccoli and then the Alfredo sauce. And then it was like seafood Alfredo. So there's like three different forms of seafood. You had there, what was it, shrimp and scallops and maybe some crab meat or something else. But the broccoli actually was better than what the noodles would be. Because really, macaroni does itself, any kind of macaroni doesn't really have any flavor. It's kind of like rice really doesn't have any flavor or much flavor. Things like oats don't have much flavor. You know, that's why people doctor them up. So really instead of, now at home, if I want, I'm hungry for this, kind of a spaghetti taste, I will make myself spaghetti sauce. And the sauce is actually what gives the spaghetti flavor. So, I just make spaghetti, like a really meat-heavy hamburger spaghetti sauce, and then eat it like soup. That works well. Now, I could also put that onto a bed of broccoli if I wanted to do that. But broccoli actually makes a good spaghetti substitute or noodle substitute. And broccoli actually has some flavor to it. Now, I know some people don't like broccoli. Fortunately, I do. I like broccoli. I like spinach. I like cauliflower. So, but the diet is going pretty well. Now, my mom had her 96th birthday, and she insisted, one of my sister-in-laws had made a birthday cake, and she said, well, you ate some of your nephew's wedding cake when he got married. I guess it's been a little over a year ago when he got married. And I did eat a little piece of wedding cake, so I ate a piece of my mother's birthday cake, her 96th birthday cake. I ate a piece of the cake. That's the first piece of cake I've had in more than a year. No problems. Went right, ate it right down. Nothing, no problem at all. Not any, acid reflux or anything. It's not a problem. Now, I'm not making that into a habit. Otherwise, I went right back to, at this point, I kind of know what I'll eat. Also, from time to time, I'll eat beans. Different types of beans can have, can be more, have a higher carbohydrate content. Once in a while, I'll eat something like that. It's not the end of the world, but generally speaking, no pasta, potatoes, rice, or bread. And that has really been beneficial. So, but I'm sticking with that. Absolutely. I'm feeling, continue to feel better than I had in a long time. Still no acid reflux. Weight is seems pretty steady, 148 to 150, which is probably as ideal as it's going to get for, And the eczema or eczema that was on the heels of my feet is gone without a trace. You can't even tell that it was ever there. And it was there for years, going all the way back to the early 90s. I was having problems, especially in the winter with the dry air. My feet would crack and it could be really painful. Because of the dry skin and then kind of an allergic reaction. You can feel it throb because of the inflammation. That's all gone. you can't even, you can look at the heels of my feet now and there's nothing, you know, it's just normal skin. It's amazing. I think it was the grain. I think whatever, the proteins that are in the grain, because they've done all this crossbreeding in order to increase the yield per acre, there's about four different proteins that would not naturally occur in the grains, let's say, that they, you know, had years ago, or the biblical grains. The grains they had in Bible times did not have those abnormal proteins. And those, there's about four proteins, and they're, at least one or two of those are really close to the naturally occurring proteins. And you eat that, and your body doesn't metabolize the proteins. It actually uses those proteins as building blocks. Of course, what's it going to do? It's going to, one of the big areas that you're of protein is certainly a skin. Your skin's got a lot of protein in it. So what you eat, the protein you eat, ends up becoming body parts. It becomes skin. So the immune system has elements that are always looking for foreign invaders, and it finds these proteins that aren't quite right, may or may not, depending on your immune system, finds those and starts attacking them because they're alien. Shouldn't be there. Don't naturally, that's not, they recognize them as the enemy, even though the body's used them as a building block. Causes inflammation, and then you got an allergic, or not an allergic reaction, but an immune, you got a, like a inflammation response. Immune system starts to attack. I think that's the smoking gun in a lot of autoimmune type problems, including joints. But you can't just cut back. If you, you know, if you really think that it's something to that, you can't just cut back. Let's say you're going to cut back. Well, I won't eat as much bread, or I'll cut the bread out, or whatever. Cut, you got to cut it all out. Cut the flour. Anything with flour in it, cut it out for some period of time and see what happens. Because it didn't go away overnight. It took a while. Of course, the heels of my feet, you know, the circulation is, you know, is slower down there because it's farther away from the heart. So I've always noticed that it takes longer if I have some sort of an injury or a scab on, you know, down on my, especially lower legs, it always seems to take longer to heal than it would, let's say, on my arms or some other part of my body that would be closer to my heart. So, it, you know, it took longer, but nonetheless, that's gone now. The only thing I changed was the diet. No more acid reflux. But, you know, the acid reflux was gone within the first week, if not even sooner. Once I cut the carbs out. So I really think people are, you know, kind of killing themselves, but with all these carbohydrates. Just, you know, 24/7, 365 carbo, you know, just overdosing on carbohydrates, and then they wonder why they're so fat, you know. And I can just look at people, and I can tell they're overdosing on carbohydrates. Today, while I was driving, I saw a couple of different people. They were out jogging, you know, great big, you know, kind of fat belly, you know, blubbering along as they were jogging. Thing was kind of jiggling up and down. And I thought to myself, that's not going to do you any good. You can get out there and try to jog all, you know, you're not going to improve the, you, or, you know, they think, well, you're going to jog and it's going to help your heart health or whatever. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. The problem, if you got a heart problem, chances are, I'm not saying this is 100%, but chances are if you've got some kind of potential heart problem, it's caused by all the carbohydrates you're eating. You end up with really high insulin levels, which are toxic. You got to have a certain amount of insulin in order to live, but above a certain level, it becomes poisonous. It becomes toxic. Same way with glucose. You got to have a certain amount of glucose in your blood. Your liver happily supplies you with that amount, the low amount. But you start dumping all this in every time you eat bread or pasta, potatoes, rice, or bread, or you have a candy bar or whatever it is, a Coke, something like that, you're just dumping it right in, and then it just dumps right into your bloodstream, and then your body has to try to deal with it. And it actually starts, it does real damage to your body. It's really, really shocking, you know, but people... some people actually, you can tell them that, and it's like they don't want to hear it, or if they do hear it, they still do it anyway. And maybe some of them, you know, they hear it enough, and then at some point, they're actually threatened. You know, something real, there's some real consequence that happens. And then the penny suddenly drops and the behavior might change. Type 2 diabetes isn't anything to screw around with. It really isn't. You know, it's one thing for, you know, people to do this or that and they know that they shouldn't do it. But, type 2 diabetes, that's a serious thing. Because it can cause you to go blind. It can cause you to end up with amputations. It can cause you to completely lose kidney function. End up on dialysis. You're going five times a week for dialysis for several hours at a time. Think that's fun? I don't imagine it's very fun. There's plenty of people that are doing that that have said, "Hey, this isn't any way to live." Don't touch the stove. The stove's hot. You're going to have to touch the stove to find out, I guess. Like, cutting out the carbohydrates ended up being one of the best things that I've ever done for myself, probably in the last, certainly within the last 10 years. Maybe even longer. Somehow I started it, somehow I stuck with it, and it has had a profound, profound impact. It's amazing. Because, you know, before that I was... You know, I'd have little aches and pains, and I'm sure the aches and pains in this joint and that joint would have gotten, they would have, had I continued with the same diet that I had before 2 years ago, those would have probably continued. At some point, I would have probably ended up with high blood pressure, and who knows what other problems. You know, and then you just say, oh, well, we're getting old. I don't think that really has a thing to do with it. Yeah, you do age. But the things, I think a lot of the things that people associate with old age, or, you know, as you get older, a lot of things that people associate with simply, oh, it's just age, they chalk it up to age, really, are better understood as the body simply being bombarded with carbohydrates and the consequences of them, decade after decade after decade, and at some point it just the system breaks down. Because the system is always responding. Now, when you eat something, your body goes through a whole laundry list of responses. And that's especially true if you eat a candy bar or something. Your body goes through a whole laundry list of responses to try to mitigate that candy bar. You do that too often, too long, and its chances are it's going to really have a negative impact in time. If you keep after it, now you may be able to keep after that for a long time. Maybe some people can do it their entire lives. But I think the majority of people can't. It catches up with you. And if you stop, at least if you stop in time, now if the damage is too much, then, you know, good luck. You damage your kidneys, sorry, you're probably stuck with damaged kidneys. Maybe. But I think, you know, in my case, I think stopping the carbohydrates caused some things to actually bounce back. So, anyway, I guess I'll go ahead and cut this off. Hope everyone has had a great week. Hope you have a great weekend coming up. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.